Good morning and welcome to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley. Quick shout out to Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
Good job of lining up the guests for this week. Was a tough task, but you got it done, huh?
It was.
Yeah, yeah. And Bill's with us. Bill Ackerley's with us. We had a great eat and greet last night at Proof Artisanal Pizza. We had Ted Maxwell was there, Grant Kruger, Tom Moulton, myself, and we had lots of guests, Kelly and Pat and Jane.
Right, Jane Hamilton.
Jane Hamilton. So we had some longtime listeners and supporters there. It was a great event and lasted until the wee hours of the morning.
So. Right. I had a great, great pizza there too. I tried the Polynesian Garden, it was called, and it had pineapple on it. Sorry to those who don't like pineapple on their pizza, but it was delicious.
Subject. Yeah.
It had jalapenos too, though, Matt, so it was really good.
Yeah. So we had a good time. Our eat and greets are a way to kind of reach out to the sponsors who are helping us with The Morning Voice, but also a chance to get to meet the five hosts that we have, Lydia, Ted, Grant, Tom, and myself, and it was a great event. So thank you all for coming, and we'll do another one. Our next one up, I think, is Caruso's, is what we talked about.
Oh, good, yeah.
So we'll probably do that in May here. So speaking of success stories, part of The Morning Voice is to talk about organizations and companies and so forth that are successful, and today we're going to talk for the last time to someone who's very successful here in Tucson, my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, who is concluding his tenure as the director of the Tucson Boys Chorus after 45 years. So good morning.
Good morning, Ed.
Next time I see you, you'll be the former director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. But you actually, your term goes through basically the end of June, right?
Yes, I'm going to be retiring at the end of the season, which includes an upcoming tour and a summer camp. So June 30th will be my last day.
Well, let's go forwards and go backwards. Let's talk first about one of the benefits that you have received in your own personal life is the ability to take the boys to several different continents and hundreds of performance places all around the world. And travel has been an interesting part of your legacy, right?
Yes, our core mission at the Boys Chorus is to offer this opportunity for young men through the study and performance of choral music to experience other things. And social skills development are equally important, leadership training and a development of core values. But the third sentence in our three-sentence mission is acting as ambassadors for the community, whether that be here in the community with collaborations with other organizations like Tucson Symphony Orchestra or Arizona Opera Company or the University of Arizona, those types of things, being a service, a cultural icon for those services, or to represent the community traveling either nationally or internationally. And you mentioned multiple continents. We figured five continents, over 30 countries that we've traveled to. There was travel in the Boys Chorus prior to my coming in 1980. But over the last 4.5 decades, the travel component has become a really big part of our identity. And it's not only the identity of the Tucson Boys Chorus, it's the identity of Tucson.
Right.
We take the warmth and friendliness of the community out into various places. And extraordinary performance halls and major functions that will be lifelong memories for all of those young men who participated.
And for you too. I think back to when you went to China the first time.
Oh, yes.
And being one of the first choral groups to visit China after...
Yeah, that was back in 1987, right. And we've been to China six times now, and this last time that we went in 2024,
right.
What a totally different country and an experience it was.
Right.
So that growth over those couple of decades was pretty
unique. And just standing on the Great Wall
and
the cultural impact that you had. And here you were, a bunch of little boys from America, and a lot of that first time around, no one had seen anybody from America. And
that's
so
right.
You had the concert halls were busting at the seams, people wanting to see all these boys from Arizona and from Tucson.
You know, we've been to places that are important in world history and world events at times when things were happening. For instance, we were at the Berlin Wall right after it came down, and so we actually, boys have souvenir pieces of the wall. We were down in South Africa right at the whole commotion about apartheid and everything was going on down there, but we were out there doing our performances. And so when these young men look back at their personal experience and then world global history and how they fit into all of that, that's a more of an international view that I think is really beneficial in their educational training.
You were a teacher. You taught middle school there for a while, both in Sarita and then up at Doolin for a while. But what got you to the boys' course back in 78 or whenever that was, when you first came over to the boys' course?
Yes. My training is music education, basically, different degrees as I advanced. But the basic training is music education. And it's the ability to have music be an important component in the life of a young person who is developing many other skills and academic things. Music often is correlated with language development as well. And so the educational component is key to my experience and what I've been able to bring to the boys' course. And it's the process, the education, the teaching, the music literacy development, that's part of the process. The product is our concerts, when we stand up on the stage and we give a performance for the community. And so all of the learning happens in mostly in the process, which is the educational development of that. And these young men not only learn music, but through the study of music, they get a chance to also develop other skill sets, which are very beneficial to them in their overall life, like leadership training. Mm-hmm. We also have a mentor system. So it's about being service to others, of where older boys are partnered up with younger boys and help train them. And it's worked out really well for us in developing that community, which is really important. And there's a certain camaraderie that develops within our organization, and all within very structured guidelines of what will make success, but also a lot of fun. They right. do things that are very, very fun, and they're there with their friends, and they're traveling around the country and the world and doing some pretty extraordinary things. And so I think all of that can come under the bubble of educational and developing young people into, great adults.
And so you also have preserved the musical tradition of boy choir and the traditional repertoire that goes along with that. And, of course, your classic concert kind of features a lot of that each year. But you also have preserved the Western rodeo roping and the Western music that is kind of what people like in China and Romania and other places that you go want to see. They want to see the great American Southwest. But you also do contemporary music and all sorts of different kinds of music. So the boy that gets involved in the chorus is really exposed to a lot of different kind of musical opportunities, right?
That is correct. The cornerstone of our music ed program is, of course, traditional classical music, Western civilization music from the different eras that we go. And you mentioned the classic concert, which comes up in the first weekend of March each year. That is the cornerstone of what we do. But what makes the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus unique among all of the great choral organizations in that we have a huge variety of music that's appealing to all audiences, family audiences, senior audiences, young audiences. And a part of that is this representation of the great American Southwest, the part of the country that we live in and that we represent when we are traveling, the cowboy culture of ballads and historical and contemporary cowboy as well. But it's that fancy trick rodeo roping team that everybody remembers in our concerts. And the boys really love it. It's a quite kinetic thing that they can get out and have a lot of fun and have a unique skill set that will be with them. I tell them it's like riding a bicycle. Once you know how to ride a two-wheel bicycle, you can ride a bicycle anywhere, anytime. It's kind of the same with rodeo roping. Once you get that rope to cooperate and do the tricks that we do in our fancy trick rodeo roping, you can pretty much do it most of your life.
And it's going to be evidenced next weekend when the 85th anniversary, some of those alumni will come back and they'll pick up a rope and they'll be able to do it. maybe they haven't twirled a rope in 40 years, but they're still going to give it a shot.
Right.
We're talking with Dr. Julian Ackerley, the director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, who was concluding 45 years of legacy at the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. What got you to the chorus? How did you get there?
Well, I was a music educator in the school systems, and I received a phone call from my predecessor, who is Dr. John Davis, and they were in need of an assistant director, and he asked if I would go to lunch with him and talk about the possibilities of becoming the assistant director, which I did do in 1978. And so I had the privilege of being in the program, associated with the program for those 2 years from 78 to 80. The director became available in 1980, and I was actually appointed as an interim for 1 year while they did a national search for the new permanent director. And I was one of the applicants and survived that year. So I got appointed the director. But gosh, that was back in 1980, and now it's 2025. 45 years goes by really fast.
It seems like it was just yesterday, to be honest with you.
Yes.
I remember that whole thing. I remember when we went to Bob Lee, of all people. Bob Lee was the news director at KNST, and we made the announcement that you got the job as the director of the voice course. It was a big deal, and it made the news all over the place. And so, rightfully so, when we announced your retirement, it also made the news, and lots of people were interested in your 45-year legacy. Well, when we come back after the break, let's talk a little bit about you and what you're going to be doing here in the next couple of weeks, and then what your plans are after you retire and become the former director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. We're talking with Dr. Julian Ackerley, 45 years as the director of Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, one of America's longest lasting musical traditions. So you're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. We're listening to the wonderful music of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus. Of course, my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, has been the director for 45 years, started in 78, but became the director in 80 and has enjoyed 45 years as director, and now leaving the chorus at the end of June after the season is over, after taking a quick tour to, you're going to go to Greece, right?
Yes, Greece is our tour this year. You know, it's kind of a first and a last. It's the first time in 85 years that the chorus has ever traveled to Greece, and it will be my last tour as director with the Tucson Boys Chorus.
That's great. That's great. You know, you're the fourth of only four men who have led the chorus, of course, in 1939 when it was started, was Eduardo Casso.
Yes.
And then Dr. John Davis and Jeff Haskell, right?
Yeah, the order was Mr. Casso founded the program in 1939 and led it until his death in 1965. And then his successor was Jeff Haskell.
Oh, yes,
and
yeah.
So Jeff was the director from 1965 to 1970.
He was the assistant and stayed on, right?
Yeah, he was the accompanist. He had auditioned to be Mr. Casso's accompanist just a couple of months before his death, and he was working on his doctorate at the University of Arizona, and then was a similar situation to mine. It was to where they needed somebody really quick, and so they got somebody in, and then Jeff, who was going to be there for a short time, ended up being there a long time for 10 years, and really helped develop the organization in a transitional period. So oftentimes when a founding director is no longer around an organization, it flounders. But Jeff was able to keep it strong and keep it for 10 years. And then in 1975, one of Mr. Casso's former choristers as a kid, John Davis, who used to sing with Eduardo Casso back in the late 1940s, he went through and got his doctorate in music, and he took over as the new director, the third director, and he was there from 75 until 1980, and 1980 is when I was appointed, and here it is 45 years later.
Amazing. And so next weekend we're going to celebrate the 85th anniversary. There'll be a little retirement event for you, for family and friends, and then on Saturday there's a big concert, right?
Yes, it'll be a big concert, and it's going to be a really exciting, fun concert. It's our annual Pops concert, but the added twist to it is that it's basically my last public performance as director, so we're kind of celebrating my retirement, and many of our alumni are coming back. Our alumni chorus is going to be really big, and they're going to be performing on the stage, so we're getting our alumni back to reminisce about their experiences in this exceptional organization that's been around for eight and a half decades.
And then on Sunday, the alumni are going to meet at an open house and kind of just reminisce and chat with each other and share things. And of course, you've announced your successor will be,
yes,
will start July 1st. So do you want to talk a little bit about him?
Yes, we had a national search to find somebody who would be able to come in and help us with the transition and to vision for the future and move us forward. And I'm very happy to say that we found, I think, a really ideal candidate. His name is Jordan Rakita. His training is that he is from Las Vegas area as a youngster in the Henderson, Nevada area, and then studied music and went to Northern Arizona University for undergraduate and master's degree. He's currently finishing his doctorate at Arizona State University, and then will be coming down to take over as the new director of the Boys Chorus on July the 1st. He is a music educator by training, and he's looking forward to learning more about the Boys Chorus and how we can vision for the next 85 years.
That's great. You know, you have been the keeper of the flame of the Boys Chorus all these 45 years, keeping the traditions alive. And we were just talking at the break that some of the big international and national boy choirs of old, San Francisco Choir, the Harlem Choir, the American Youth, whatever it was called, the Boy Choir.
American Boy Choir.
Are gone.
Yeah. Surviving a nonprofit community-based choir to survive has been a struggling thing over the years. You know, COVID was a big one that some of these organizations didn't survive. But the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus not only survived during that time, but we are actually thriving. We were blessed in the fact that we have an outdoor facility. So during those COVID times, we weren't meeting digitally online. We actually had a space for the boys to go to that we could do all of the protocols of social distancing and wearing masks and taking temperatures and everything. But it still allowed the boys to come and be together, which was an important thing. We didn't have venues to perform in, so our concerts ended up being out in the parking lot, but at least we stayed together for that year. And I think that was a part of what shows that the Boys Chorus is really good about pivoting and seeing what the next plan is and how what we can do to make it better. And you're right, many of the long established boy choir traditions have not survived and are no longer around. There are a couple of them, but the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus boasts the fact that we are the longest lasting community-based boy choir tradition in the country now that we can ascertain. And that's something that not only our organization can be proud of, but it's something in which all of Tucson and Southern Arizona can be proud.
Right, right. Well, you can be proud of your legacy, 45 years of, you know, there are lots of opportunities. You could have gone off and done a lot of different things in your life. And you decided, you know, for whatever reason, to stay, and you stayed for 45, and it did go by fast, didn't it?
Well, I have to tell you, you know, you have to be open to opportunities, and that's one of the things I tell my boys and all of the people that ask me, just be open to what may come your way, because honestly, when I was in university and getting my doctorate, that my goal was not to be the director of a nonprofit organization for 45 years. That wasn't what was on my track at the time. I thought I wanted to be a teacher of music educators. So I wanted to work at a university level and teach music education to others. That's what I thought my goal was. But then this amazing organization came into my path, and I got into it, and I've been really passionate about it for all of this time, and I grew that passion from the beginning of being here, and I see what benefits it has for young, not only the boys, but their entire families. A boy doesn't join the chorus, a family joins the chorus, and I think that this has just been an extraordinary opportunity for me, of which I feel very blessed to have been here, and my whole career is here, and look at all of the things that I've been able to do. you know, I served in the National Association of American Choral Directors Association as a representative for boy choirs nationally. It gave me lots of individual travel and lots of travel with my choristers. And so
The American Youth Choir?
Yeah, I was the director of the American Youth Choir, and that went to the sixth continent,
right.
down to where did we go? Oh, Argentina, Uruguay, and Chile on that.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, there are just a lot of opportunities, a lot of clinicking around the country and around the world, doing all states and various things. And, you know, I wouldn't have had any of that without the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus, which I'm deeply indebted to.
And you have a parallel career. You've been a church choir director for 45 years as well. And so
yes.
Not only are you conducting little guys from age 6 or 7 up to high school and beyond, but you also every Sunday, every week do adults, and you've been doing that for the whole time as well, right?
Yep, church musician as well.
Right. So it's 7 days a week for you is what it is, basically. Yeah. Well, Julian, you've been a great leader of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus, a great legacy that you've left here, and we hope that the Boys Chorus is successful for another 85 years, even though there may not be a bunch of Ackerleys running around. it'll still be, you have left your legacy on the chorus. And
I'm really grateful for all of my familial support over all of these 4.5 decades, starting with my wife and my family and all of you. And I'm also really grateful to the community at large, because they have really backed this organization for its entire history. And so thank you, Tucson. Thank you for your support of the Singing Goodwill Ambassadors.
That's great. Dr. Julian Ackerley concludes his 45 years as director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. Coming up on June 30th will be his last day and transition to a new era of the Boys Chorus. And you'll be transitioning to a home in Vermont near your near your wonderful two little grandkids and your daughter and her husband. And,
yes. Family in Vermont. So we're going to be the snowbirds.
The snowbirds of the Ackerley family. You'll be in Vermont in the summer and Tucson in the winter. So
that's right.
Congratulations, Julian. And
Thank you.
Forward to this coming weekend to celebrate your legacy with the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. That's Dr. Julian Ackerley, and this is The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break and talk to another good friend, Rob Lamb from Mighty Dog, who's sitting out in the green room now looking at us. So we'll have Rob come in just a minute. Thank you, Julian.
Thank you, Ed.
This is The Morning Voice. We're having quite the fun here on a Friday morning. I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host. In the studio with me is Morgan Murphy. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
Bill Ackerley's here as well. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
And our good friend, Rob Lamb. How
good
are you today?
Morning. Doing well.
I got to mention Mia. She's here, too. She's sitting over there watching us. So, who let the dogs out? That refers to Mighty Dog Roofing, which is a pretty good little company now, isn't it?
It's actually a pretty large company. Our local owned business is a little company.
Right.
We're a franchise, but we're national. And when we opened our doors last year, I think we were number 104 or 105 in the country.
Wow.
So Mighty Dog is a brand across the country. It's part of the Horsepower brands that are focused on home services.
Right.
And that's what we do. We help residences, and it's also commercial. So,
talking about your family, my brother, Dr. Julian Ackerley, was just on with the 45-year legacy of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. You know something about that, don't you?
I do. I've got 5 children, my daughter, and then 4 boys. And all 4 of my sons were part of the Boys Chorus. My wife was also working there part-time for a while, and I had the privilege of being able to serve on the board for a few years. And I was just greeting Julian on the way out, and I personally thanked him. Because he helped me in the formation of my sons, and the program, and so just a big amount of gratitude.
It is amazing, the transition. I have 3 sons as well, and all 3 of them were in for 7 years each, and they grew up from, you know, it was the most amazing thing was the older one, Kyle. He he kind of went through this, but the two little ones, they're little, heck, they're 33 and 30 now, but the two little ones went away on a tour, and they left little wiggly, squiggly, giggly little boys, and they came back young men. It was an amazing transition, and they were only gone for 6 weeks. It wasn't like they were gone forever, but the transition that they go through in the chorus is an amazing thing.
Yeah, I'm actually going to challenge Julian. He made a comment. I was listening on the way in, and he said that the product of the boys' chorus is the concerts.
Right.
And I'm going to challenge him and say, no, it isn't. It's the formation of the young men.
Right.
And that really is what it is there. So my sons learned what it was all about to do, you know, servant leadership,
mm-hmm.
How to mentor the younger, you know, sons. I mean, my boys did it. I got here early because, you know, one of the reasons is my sons got drilled into them. Early is on time is late, and late is unacceptable. And they continue that's part of what drives them as young men. So,
and they're still servant leaders themselves. They're all working and doing something positive for the world, and it's amazing. A couple of them will be in the alumni chorus coming up here next weekend. At the concert, will all four of them be in, do you think?
No, I think my son Owen is actually in Rome right now.
Okay.
It just turned out that he's actually going to be able to attend
the
funeral of our Holy Father.
That's fantastic. What a great experience that'll be.
So,
I spent some time when I actually, as we digress a little bit, in 79, I was able to go to Florence, Italy, and I got to go to the Pope's summer home in Castel Gandolfo, which is a lake near Rome there, and it was great. I got to sign my name in the book that, you know, 1,500 years worth of important people got to sign their name, and I got to sign my name. But the Pope was out skiing on the lake. His name was Pope John Paul II, and he was a young man at the time, and he was out on the lake skiing, of all things, and he had just become the Pope. And so that whole experience for me was pretty powerful. So good for Owen. I'm glad he gets that opportunity. Well, talking about service, you are on every single committee known to man that has to do with making our community better. How do you see our, you know, we got Richard Fimbres after 14 years now is going to retire from the city council coming up on the 1st of May, and what a great legacy he has left. And we've had transitions on the city council. I think they're on their, this will be the third replacement that they've had. Obviously, Alita Grijalva has left the supervisors, and we've got a new appointment. Andres Cano is the new person. But you and I have seen a lot of changes in the last 5 years or so of leadership in Tucson and the focus and direction. What's the future look like for Tucson?
Boy, that's a heavy question. two things come to mind when I think about that. One of them is I think we're at a bit of a crossroads setting ourselves up for the next 10 or 15 years.
Right.
And one of those pieces of the crossroad that I really want to focus on, and I know people are many of your listeners are aware of, is the renewal of the RTA.
Right.
RTA Next, if that does not go through, I don't think people understand what the incredible impact that has on the economic development. And economic development, when you talk about that, that's what serves our families.
Right.
I'm most concerned about the families of Tucson. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got two of my five kids are living out of town.
Right.
And I want our kids to be able to stay here and grow their own families, mm-hmm. if they so choose. If they want to leave, fine, but not have to leave.
Right, that they can't find a job,
right.
So they have to leave to a town.
And, and economic development, one of the big things that drives that is infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And the RTA, if we do not, and that's been, I know people, there's been concerns about how RTA has been run, et cetera. When you look at that, that's one of the very few examples of a huge success, mm-hmm. of inter-municipal or cross-municipal collaboration.
Yeah.
And we have to renew that.
Right.
And is it going to be perfect? No. Nothing is perfect. Whenever you involve human beings, it will not be perfect.
Right.
But it is key.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I think we really need to focus on as a community and right. really get behind that and not get distracted. Mm-hmm. You know, was it Jim Collins, you know, said, you know, the enemy of good of great is good.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to settle for something good or focus on things that are good when, hey, the things that are going to make us great
right.
Are getting distracted,
right.
We're getting distracted from that.
I do have to say that I went to a presentation out at Ventana, and it was actually the CEO of Raytheon was speaking, and he talked about how before we talk about anything else, let's talk about getting the infrastructure right. That's the economic development of our community. Is
yeah.
we can invite all the companies in the world in here to set up shop, but if the roads don't work, the police don't work, all the things are not where they need to be, it's a struggle to try to get them. And you go up the road to a place a little bit north of us, the Valley of the Sun, and one company after another's plopping down in the middle of Arizona. That's no reason why they can't be doing it here too. So
yeah, and infrastructure, workforce development, mm-hmm. those are the key things that are tracked.
Right.
Talk to Sun Corridor, and I served on the board of Sun
Corridor. Schools, yeah.
Good schools, but that's really when you look at the role of government, local government, mm-hmm. infrastructure, and public safety is top of the list.
Right,
and if you get distracted from those,
let's get that right.
We yeah. will have failed.
Right,
and so this is where I think we're at a crossroads, and the RTA is right. pretty critical.
You had another thought.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Many people know of Patrick Lencioni and the Table Group.
Yep.
He wrote the Five Dysfunctions of a Team and some others. And I was listening to a podcast the other day, and he was in a discussion about the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE.
Mm,
everyone's
right.
really it's a big deal. What's going on? Everyone's up in arms about what's happening. And he said, you know, this is normal. For any business, if it was run like the federal government, would have gone out of business a few
200 years ago. Yeah,
and you have to really and there's some good things about that have to happen, and
right.
it is painful. And he said, but there's the second part of that you have to recognize is people have been living in that world. It is painful.
Yes,
and you have to have some compassion in the midst mm-hmm. of that. Of what it is, but it's a necessary compassion. And it was right. compared to in this, they said it's kind of like dealing with someone who's got, a hoarding addiction.
Right.
And you go in and they keep on saying, yeah, I know, I'll clean it up. And after a while you say, that's not going to happen. You
right.
need some outside help to come in and actually make this happen.
Right.
And it is hard and
yeah.
it is difficult, but it's necessary if you're going to live.
Right.
And that's something that I think a lot of us lose sight of. And
right.
we run businesses, right?
Right.
If I just continue to raise my prices and expect people and tell them, these called taxes in the government,
right.
That this is what you're going to do, I would go out of business.
Right.
I can't do that.
I remember back, I'm old enough to remember when we hit the first $1 trillion in deficit and mm-hmm. how shocked the world, the business world was. What are we at now? $36 trillion
yeah.
and growing every second we're growing.
We're numb to it.
Yeah.
We have not recognized that this is a real critical part of what we do, and we have to take some steps to be able to say, all right, let's live within our means.
Yeah,
we have to do this in our households.
I think the last time we had a balanced budget was back in the Clinton administration. I think it was the last time we were
yep.
able to, and COVID didn't help because we were giving away the farm
yep.
to help people. I'm not saying that we should have done all the things that we did as a government, but now it's out of, $32 or $36 trillion or whatever the number is. It's unfathomable. I don't think I could write that many zeros down and know exactly where to stop because,
yeah.
and so it's painful, absolutely painful to go through that. Well, when we come back, let's talk a little bit about Rob Lamb and your business and
sure.
The outlook for summer and the monsoon season and roofing and all those good things. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, and Matt and I are having fun doing the bumper music for Up on the Roof and the Ladder, Jacob's Ladder. Matt, you do a great job of finding great music for us. We're with Rob Lamb, the owner of Mighty Dog Roofing, and Rob, your family has been doing this now for about a year, right?
Yep.
And you're coming up on another summer of monsoon season and so forth. Typically, in my mind, that's when a lot of people start thinking about their roof because they think about the rains and is my roof leaking? And
right.
any time of the year is a good time to get a roof, though, right?
Well, it's peace of mind. It's one of those things, you know, I think all of us have had the opportunity. It's like, oh, the rains came. And then you're laying in bed and you can't get to sleep because you're like, is the roof leaking?
Right.
And the problem is we don't get a lot of rain. In fact, we didn't get very much in winter rains at all. And that was usually those serve as the reminder for people to say, oh, I better get it at a minimum, get it inspected.
Right.
And so so we're really encouraging people, hey, before that happens, because things all of a sudden, everyone gets reminded at the same time. And then it's really tough for us to be able to get those inspections out quickly. So we're encouraging people, hey, before monsoon comes, we'll come out, we'll get a free inspection of your roof, check it out, make sure you're good to go and prepared. And if you're not, we'll help you make sure you are so that you can lay and actually get, we're in the sleep business. We're not the roofing business. We're in the sleep business. We help our customers sleep well.
Peace of mind business. Yes. You know, my father's a good example. He always talked about, they have a beautiful home. It's, you know, probably worth $250,000 now, but I think they paid $10,000 for the home, you know, 69 years ago. And they were so proud. They had a little mortgage burning ceremony one time, you know, 10 years or so into living in the house. And my dad was always one that how important it was to keep up the house and keep up the roof and keep up the, because that's the homestead.
Yeah.
And if all else fails, at least you got the home to come home to. So you got to take care of your place. And the roof is probably, if not one of the most important part of a house, isn't it?
It is. It protects everything inside. And so a lot of people are looking at, hey, it's time to renovate a kitchen or bathroom, or, you know, I want to paint a room or do things like that. And all the stuff that we have inside the house.
Right.
You know, if it starts leaking, even though, you know, the ones that I really hate are when you start to see there's leaking that's happening, and it's happening, you know, behind the walls, and all of a sudden there's a mold issue.
Right.
And then all of a sudden this is now you've got the disaster, you know, people coming in, they have to gut the place, they have to remediate, they've got to, and now you've displaced your family for a few years.
Right.
If you keep up your roof, you avoid all that.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so, but it isn't one of those things like, oh man, I've always wanted a new roof.
Right.
You know, it's like, hey, no, we're competing against it. You know, there's a new Lexus model out this year.
Right. And there's a vacation to Aruba coming up.
Yeah, I really want to, you know, sit on the beach. And
So Mighty Dog does free inspections. What does that mean? You call up and make an appointment and someone comes out and does something?
You call up, you know, and we'll set up a time. We go out and we actually get up on the roof. We actually, one of the things too that we try to differentiate ourselves is we've got some drone that we use, and we fly the drone. We can't do it for all homes because we've got these things called airports nearby.
Right. and a pretty major Air Force base.
Yeah,
and the FAA doesn't let you just fly drones anywhere.
So we'll use that, and that's actually connected to some AI software that will actually, when we take pictures of the roof, and then the AI software looks for damage itself, and it's all been trained by millions, you know, of roofs across the across the country. These are part of the advantages that really attracted us to opening Mighty Dog, because the franchise comes with use of technology that really helps us analyze and understand, and then very quickly communicate to our customer. These are the issues with your roof. These are the solutions that we can put, and here are the options, and we'll guide you through that process to be a trusted consultant.
And the reverse is true too. If you go out and do an inspection, the roof is in good shape and doesn't need anything for another 5 years.
Exactly.
You say,
we just had one yesterday that.
You don't need anything for 5 years. Call us back.
Yeah. He called us up and said, I just really want to check. And we came and said, you know what, you're good. You know, give us a call in a few more years, but you're good. You've got that peace of mind. You can sleep well.
Right, right. Do you put white on everything now because of this, where we are? Everything's painted white.
Oh, that's a loaded question. So it depends on the type of roof you've got.
Yeah.
The flat, the low slope roofs. We've got we tend to use polyglass materials.
Right.
It depends
on what the roof is, basically.
Yeah, it's high reflectivity.
Yeah.
The other one, too, is when you get into
Can you stick around?
Yeah, I can stick around.
We're going to go to break here in just a minute. So, up on the roof, we're talking with Rob Lamb. We'll be back with Wonder from the University of Arizona. Rob will stick around with us for a little while.
Good morning and welcome to the Morning Voice. This is the Wonder Edition, where we talk about the wonderful things going on at the University of Arizona. In studio with me is my brother, Bill Ackerley. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Ed.
And we also have Morgan Murphy, a graduate herself in a couple of weeks from the University of Arizona Master's Program. Good morning, Morgan.
Good morning.
You also have Mia sitting in watching us. She doesn't have a mic, so good morning, Mia. And our good friend, Rob Lamb, who is very familiar with the University of Arizona. Spent a lot of money on tuition at the U of A, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not for you, but for your kids.
Yes.
Yeah. The University of Arizona is really important to our economy. We talked a little bit about infrastructure and how, but the U of A, it really is the elephant in the room, is it not? It is the big thing. That and the base maybe are the two big things that are right here in the middle of town.
And just a fun fact, I moved here almost 17 years ago, I think it was, from Ann Arbor, Michigan, another university town. Economic development was involved there as well. And people would say, in the same way, they say, well, we'll always have we'll have University of Michigan and we'll always have Pfizer.
Right.
Pfizer had a huge R&D facility there until one day Pfizer made an announcement while they were in the midst of doing a big capital expansion of two new buildings being built. We're leaving. And then within a year, they had shut down the entire campus of highly paid people.
Right.
And so when people say, I always remember that, when people say, oh, we'll always have the U of A and we always have Raytheon.
Right.
Hold on a second, guys.
Right.
Let's take good care of these wonderful institutions that are serving our community so much.
Right, right. You know, we talk a lot. I do. The reason that we have Wonder as part of the Morning Voice is when I was running for mayor, everybody complains about so many different things. But, even at the U of A, it's budgetary, it's crime, scandal, lots of things that happen it's like a little city in and of itself. And so there's obviously going to be those negative things that happen. But every day at the University of Arizona, there is wonderful research and things going on, life-saving things in Banner over at the health sciences and engineering, which you're familiar with. And even in my field, business and marketing and so forth, it's amazing what goes on at the university every single day in this community and how powerful it is, not only for our community, but for the whole world. And we got to protect it and make sure that we celebrate what the U of A does. So that's what. Morgan, you're going to be graduating here in a couple of weeks. You're
yes, I graduate on the 15th.
Yeah, yeah.
Very excited.
You graduate from being the CEO of Ackerley Advertising to go get a real job, right?
A real job. I'd say this is a real job.
Yeah, yeah. What was your experience like at the University of Arizona? You've been there for about 5.5 years. So what's your experience?
My experience, I did my undergrad in marketing and entrepreneurship. So I've always been in the Eller College. So they call Eller an island because you're on the other side of Speedway. And so you don't really get to experience the whole part of university because you're on the other side. But
yeah, that's the same with law and medicine are both
yes,
on.
Yes, and I think engineering too. But I've loved it. It's been extremely challenging. Anybody that's been through Eller knows the junior year where you do case comp for a real company. It's kind of make or break. You learn how to present and hold eye contact, all kinds of things, little things that you wouldn't think about, writing a business email, things like that. So it's been really hard, but I feel prepared, which is a really good feeling to have as you're going into the workforce, which, is a hard place to go into right now. I don't know if you've looked, but it's really hard to get a job as a student, but yeah, I feel prepared. I feel ready. So.
And to your point, Rob, getting these graduates from the U of A, whether they be in the undergrad graduating or a master's program like Morgan's talking about, getting them to stay in Tucson and getting them to want to be part of the community fabric and remain in Tucson and grow a business, start a business and grow it, or join a business and make it better. It's been hard to keep these students, every year, what do we graduate? 10,000-20,000 students every year, and a lot of them jump on a plane and get the right the heck out of here and go somewhere else. So how do we conquer that problem?
Well, I think U of A's done a wonderful job of doing, and you're a great example, I think, Morgan, of getting them engaged in the workforce during their education.
Right.
They get that real world experience. And that does two things. One is it gives you that real, okay, I learned about this in a classroom.
Right.
But now I actually get to do it and try, oh, that didn't work. I got to do this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, reality is all of a sudden a slap in the face sometimes.
Right.
But it's great experience that gets you there. But it also helps get you familiar with the organizations that are here or have a presence here in Tucson so that if you do want to stay, you can. And you've got those connections. It's not just, I got to find a job. I'll talk to my professor.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, no, actually, there's a whole bunch of other, you know, opportunities that you, the U of A served up to you, whether it be through internships, formal or informal.
Right.
U of A's done a lot to really engage during the process for the students. And we've seen that increase, I think, over the last 7 or 8 years.
It's also been great to see some of the companies that have been born out of the entrepreneurship program.
Yes.
Where they've had a great idea. Frost comes to mind. There's lots of them that they started started as an idea at Eller, and then all of a sudden they blossom into a company and employ a lot of people and have and the more of that we can do of that transfer of that education and technology into jobs, I think, is an important thing. And you know, Raytheon, I know Matt was at Raytheon for years, and the internships and the externships at Raytheon, one of those big places that employs, what now, 13,000 employees, I think. It's an important move that we get engineering and marketing and all sorts of different people out there. They graduate from the U of A, and they've got a $100,000 a year job waiting for them, and Raytheon's been very good about hiring people from the U of A.
Yeah, it's true.
And how do we keep that alive and keep that going? So the University of Arizona is a important part of what we do in celebrating wonder and how it is successful. Bill and I are celebrating in about 2 weeks here. Of course, my brother's 45th anniversary, and he's leaving the boys' course. But we're celebrating our 58th anniversary as of May 1st. My dad used the date of May 1st, 1968 as the date that Ackerley Advertising was born. He had been in radio management for 20 years before that, and then started the company. And I mentioned that because I'm the opposite way. Instead of going to the U of A and then starting a company, my company, Ackerley Advertising, is the reason I am at the University of Arizona.
Hmm.
It's the mothership, and I was asked by a friend to come to the university and start teaching in the college. And I still teach the first class that I had in Eller College some 35 years ago now. I still teach it every semester. It's an applied advertising course, and my students just had a big on the mall at the U of A yesterday, had a big promotion, and they were working on mitigating hate speech on campus, and so they're working with the Department of Homeland Security. But the reason that Ed Ackerley is at the University of Arizona is because of the relationship that Ackerley Advertising has had with the university, and that's great synergy too. If we can get people from the industry to come in and teach the students who are in that you know, we have tenured professors who do the research and do that high level stuff, but it's also important to have practitioners like myself come in and teach. And a lot of the colleges have a career track faculty like me who are working in Tucson and trying to encourage the Morgans of the world to stay in Tucson and be people who want to live in Tucson and contribute. And if we can do more of that, I don't know if there's a magic elixir to do that or what.
I think the big elixir is just connections, building those connections. I mean, we had GLHN, Architects and Engineers, where I was for 10 years. We had, I can think of three already, of our principals who actually were teaching at the U of A in the engineering and architecture programs there, and had built a wonderful relationship with the U of A.
Right. Right. So that's a good thing. And so, Morgan, what are you going to do? You're you know, first
that's a
off,
great
we,
question.
First of all, if we have to have a big going away party. We had it for you last night, by
I
the
know.
Way, at the Eat and Greet. It was a great party. It's too bad you couldn't be there because we really celebrated you in a big way. So, but what are you going to do? What are you thinking? Well, first off, you're engaged.
Yes.
So you have a wonderful young man that's going to be a lucky guy, and you're going to get married eventually here.
Yes, but, I have to pay off my student loans first.
Yeah.
Nah, don't wait. Don't wait.
Yeah, you'll have debt the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, great. That's
exactly.
Good to hear.
Yeah, don't wait.
Don't wait. Just get married. And but what do you want to do with your master's degree? I know you've talked about teaching at the college level, but
yeah.
also getting into business. So
yeah, as Rob mentioned, I've done a lot of internships, and that has kind of helped me. My first internship, I go, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this. And I was like, thank goodness, because that's what I thought I wanted to do.
It wasn't this internship that you were talking about that said you don't ever want to do this the rest of your life. Yeah.
No, but I've gotten a feeling of things that I really like. And one thing that I've really enjoyed in your internship is being in the people business. And so I definitely want to stay involved in a community, being able to talk to people. Something I don't really enjoy is just being stuck behind a computer. I like to be face to face. So that's something I'm really going to look for in a future career. And I love advertising. Advertising is really fun.
Yeah.
And different clients. I think what's fun is every day being different. I want every day to be different. I want to wake up not know what exactly is going to be at my front door, because it keeps you on your toes.
Or at your passenger side door when you're getting picked up.
Oh, my goodness.
Was that the craziest thing? That some guy?
This morning he picked me up before we came here. And so I walk up and I'm like, oh, do I need to get in the back seat? Because there's a guy just standing at the door. And he's like, no, I don't know who this guy is. He just opened my car door.
And he was trying to get in. I think maybe he thought I was an Uber driver or something. I don't know what he thought. But it was the conversation went on for about 3 minutes. And he starts taking stuff out. So we're lucky we're here today. So.
Yes, downtown sometimes.
So if I would ask, help me tune my radar for what type of opportunity would be great for you?
Right.
Ideal opportunity? That's a hard one. I think as a recent college grad, I'm not looking for necessarily an ideal job, but I think something in marketing or advertising, because I want to work with small businesses. I've worked for larger businesses and they're great. We need them, of course. But small businesses, you feel like you have an impact, which is really cool. Like, for example, doing this, I have a direct impact on who comes here today, what we talk about.
Right.
And I can see it. It's tangible. Versus large businesses. I've even known people that work for large advertising agencies, and they say they'll put out 100 ads a month, and they'll see one, you know, go through. And I don't know, something about just seeing your work and it actually being useful, it feels good.
Yeah, and you've helped a lot of our clients, which has been great. So let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll wrap up the first part of Wonder, talking about what Morgan's life is going to be like and why the university is so important to our economy. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI 1030 AM. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am Dr. Ed Ackerley, your host on Friday. On Monday, we have Lydia Randa. On Tuesday, General Ted Maxwell. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger. On Thursday, our good friend Tom Moulton. And then we talk about success on Friday morning. And then the second hour, we talk about Wonder, the good things going on at the University of Arizona, impacting our community. Speaking of community, Bill, we have a Coaches for Charity Bowl-a-thon coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Actually, it's June 14th, coming up on a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon at Lucky Strike Bowl over on Speedway, and we're still selling lanes. It's $250 for 4 to 6 people to come and bowl and have free pizza and free soda and plenty of raffle items and things you can bid on in the silent auction, and it all raises funds for Coaches for Charity to give to elementary schools for their sports equipment. And this year's elementary school is Drachman
Elementary School. So, yeah. And we provide sports equipment for their youth teams, whether that be shirts or athletic equipment or whatever.
Right. We just give them a big check, and then they did decide what
coach,
to do.
Coach and the principal decide what they're going to use it for. Yeah. So,
and a lot of these coaches at that elementary level, they're volunteering. They're usually a parent who gets involved with their kid, and then they don't really have a budget for anything, and through the district or the different districts. So it's up to the adults to come through for their kids to get the uniforms and the equipment that they need to play.
Yeah, so that's great. So this will be our fourth year of doing this, and we give about anywhere between $2,500 and $5,000 to the school, depending on how many people show up. And so if you're not a bowler and don't want to bowl, but you'd like to come by and bid on an auction item, or shucks, just send us a donation if you'd like to and be involved in some way, we'd love to have you. So how do they get involved?
They can go to coachesforcharity.org, and there's a tab at the top of the website, Bowl-a-thon, and they just click on that. And from there, you can either make a donation for the silent auction, or you can get a lane. I'm proud to say, as of last night, I got home from the eat and greet, and I looked on my emails, and we got a tag from Janet Hare at the DoubleTree DoubleTree Hotel at Reed Park, and she bought a lane. So we're up to 10 lanes sold. We've got plenty more to do between now and the 14th. So,
and if you don't want to buy a lane and you just want to bowl, contact Bill. He'll get you set up with some fun people. And and if you don't want to bowl and you want to come and be part of the party, come do that too.
I haven't implemented it yet, but I have a plan for the, as we get closer to the date, to have a pick up a spare, I'm going to call it. And for $39.99, you can come as an individual and be placed with other people who are bowling.
Great. Well, thanks for all the hard work you do on that. And Rob Lamb, thanks for all the hard work you do. Tell us a little bit about how someone can contact Mighty Dog Roofing and get a free inspection, or talk to you and your folks about what might be the best solution for their roof on their house. So how do they get a hold of you, and how does that all work?
Yeah, no problem. The best way, everybody, just remember the name, mightydogroofing.com. And that'll take you to our website. There's a number of different ways you can contact us out through that. We also, you can call our office number, 520-668-9949. But if you get to the website, most people remember the name and the website, and we all use the almighty Google.
Right. You know, when you were thinking about after you left GLHN, after you left that alphabet soup that you were working at, and you decided that you and your wife were going to open something up, you did a lot of research.
Yeah, we did. We kicked the tires on a number of different businesses, and this one floated to the top.
Yeah, and you kind of have a little bit of an engineering background, so this was kind of good for you because you could kind of learn all you need to know about roofing that you didn't know before, but now you know a lot about it now.
Yeah, right? Well, I knew some from being part of GLHN, I am a mechanical engineer as well, you know, by training, and I've been in a number of different industries, and so I love to learn.
And you love to learn too, Morgan. That's why you're completing your schooling. And
I feel like I'll be back.
Did you win some money at the case comp that was given by Murnau the other day? Did you and your group clean up? And were you first?
We did not.
You were not the first place team, huh?
We were not the first place team, but that's okay.
It's okay. You got to have a few setbacks, and before you can always.
Of course, you can't win at all. Yeah. And it teaches you lessons. So.
Yeah, but you've had a great experience at the University of Arizona, and we have had a great. Rob and I have had a great interaction with the University of Arizona in a thousand different ways over the last 20 years, and how important it is to the economy of Tucson, and how important it is. I have a funny little story to tell you. We had our good friend John Gordon in town last Friday for the Good Friday breakfast, and with Gospel Rescue Mission. And I had the great fortune. He's the author of 31 books. 17 of them have made the bestseller list. And amazing. The Energy Bus is, I highly recommend The Energy Bus. And he was on The Morning Voice a couple of weeks ago. Great guy. I got an hour with him at La Paloma and sat there and we chatted for about a lot of different things. And talking about how important the connection is of the community with the university, and how important people ask, how did you get John Gordon to come to the University of Arizona? I'll tell you how I got him. Leo Ward told me to read the book. I read the book. I thought it was phenomenal. I picked up the phone and I called John Gordon and said, hey, can you come to the University of Arizona? Well, I normally charge, you know, $500,000 to do that, but I'll do it because it's students at the U of A. And now we're into a relationship with him, and he believes that the university is such a powerful force for good. And I'm just really excited that I was the impetus behind the energy
bus. You picked
bus.
Up the phone I and called. Yeah. I mean, this is, sorry, but this is something that that's all you have to do.
Right.
Is pick up the phone and call.
Right.
And do that. My son, Michael, did the same thing for the Newman Center. You know, he wanted to get a really rock solid speaker. Right. And he just picked up the phone. He's a student. And
I often tell my students, why, you know, do you know why the homecoming queen doesn't go to the homecoming dance? And they all look at me and like, you know, because everybody thinks that the quarterback is going to ask her to go to the dance. And so everyone's too afraid to ask her. So she sits home with her parents because no one asked her. You got to ask. You got to step to the plate. And I think that's a good lesson for all of us, is not to be afraid to step forward and be magical in what you do. So we're going to bring one of your buddies in here in just a little bit
to talk about
her her transition into law school.
Yes, and how that
whole process of going from graduation on to the next thing. And you're talking about maybe being a doctor too. You're still contemplating that.
Yes.
maybe not, but
somebody I know might have inspired her to do that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to keep her in Tucson and trying to keep her as the CEO of Ackerley Advertising. We need her. She's fantastic. You've been great as a helper over the last she's been good, hasn't she?
Excellent. Yes.
Yeah. We break you right up there with the best intern we've had this semester, so.
Thank you. Oh, this semester. I appreciate it. I would hope so.
Yeah. That's Morgan Murphy. She's our good helper and my assistant, and Bill Ackerley is with us, and our very good friend, Rob Lamb. Thanks for spending an hour with us, Rob, and talking
about
the good things that you do for the community and your family. I hope you had a joyous Easter and celebrate.
Oh, we're still celebrating. It's 50 years of celebration, or 50 days, rather.
50 days.
40 days of Lent, but 50 days of celebration.
And we love the 50 days, so. We're excited, and you and I are very. We can't wait to see that white smoke come out of the Sistine Chapel, and who our next pope is going to be.
Yep.
So
doing a lot of praying.
Well, great. Thanks for being here, everybody, and we'll come back after the break with our good friend Gabby, and she'll tell us what it's like to be a future law student at the University of Arizona. You're listening to The Morning Voice on KVOI. We'll be back after the break. Every once in a while, we get to play some music, and I just get to sit here and listen to it. And that Song for America from Kansas, bringing back some memories there, Matt. So thank you very much. I appreciate that. We're here with talking about Wonder, good things going on at the University of Arizona, and how the U of A affects our community and does some really good work. Bill Ackerley is here, and Morgan Murphy, our CEO, for the next 2 weeks. In charge of Bill and I and telling us what to do. We're sorry that you're going to be moving away from Ackerley Advertising, but we're really proud of you, and you've done a great job. And
thank you.
We thank you for what you've done. And who's this other person here that's with us? Will you introduce this person to us?
Yes, this is my best friend. Her name is Gabrielle Grunewald. She is a U of A alumna, and she's going on to do some pretty big things. So she just got accepted into a few law schools. She's trying to make a decision, but something the U of A prepared her for, which is pretty awesome.
So we wanted to, she suggested this, Morgan suggested this to me, that we have a conversation with the two of you about what the University of Arizona means to you and what your life has, how your life has changed over the last 4 years as a undergraduate, and now that you're a graduate and an alumnus and moving on to law school. How was the U of A? First off, why did you choose the U of A? Of course, you're kind of from here, so you've been here for a while, but why did you choose the U of A?
Yeah, I always knew I was going to go to the U of A. I went to elementary school here, middle school, high school, and so the U of A was always my first pick of choice for college. I just really liked how they have a strong community, and their programs they offer there for law and criminal justice have always stood out to me. I did some of their programs and their kind of touring students when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. So, and then especially with the year I entered into the U of A was during the pandemic. I am a 2020 high school graduate. So that was also the biggest attraction, was to be able to stay home during the process of all of that.
Right, which was a dynamic, no one really knew what was going on, and it was kind of crazy, but still could get a degree and work through all of that.
Yeah.
So you guys are friends, right?
Yes, we've been friends since freshman year of high school, so it's going on
10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
The fearsome twosome. By the way, Bill, they both play a mean pickleball, don't they? And padel too. So they were both with us at the opening of the pad. One of our clients, and you play a mean pickleball, and you're pretty amazing. You were playing with her, a fiance there, and you were going at it pretty good there.
I love pickleball. It's one of my favorite activities to do.
Yeah. So did you ever think that Gabby was going to be a lawyer when she was a freshman or sophomore in high school?
So one of the first things Gabby ever said to me was that it basically went, "Hi, I'm Gabby. I'm going to be a lawyer." So it's actually, I think it's been her dream since you were a kid, right?
Yeah. There was really never any other option. Since I was little, I used to watch Law and Order with my mom. I still watch it, but all of the crime shows, NCIS, Criminal Minds, and I have just always been drawn to it, to really be an advocate for people and helping others. I was a Girl Scout when I was a kid, and then I did student council all throughout elementary school to high school. And so really just public service, I've always felt called to and drawn to, and it's been my passion and something I've been working on for years. I always was like, okay, I had my 5-year, 10-year plan of how to get to law school starting at like 10 years old.
Right. And how did you started in COVID year, but how did your 4 years play out over your University of Arizona experience? And who, may I ask, is your favorite teacher at the University of Arizona? So I'm doing that while I'm looking at Morgan just to tease her a little bit.
There is actually one professor that really stood out to me, Professor Harper. He actually is retired. He was the chief of Tucson Police Department.
Right.
I took several of his classes.
Know him well, yeah.
Yes, he was amazing. Just really opened my eyes to not only the justice system and kind of the intricacies of our legal system, but also Tucson. There was a lot that I didn't realize that the certain cases we handle here and projects we worked on. I remember one of my favorite projects to work on is we did a homicide report, and our entire semester we just kind of spent tracking the different cases that were going on here in Tucson, following up the progress of ones that kind of stand still, ones that moved faster, and kind of playing like how different factors played into that, where areas of town these cases happened, things like that, gender, race. So it was one of my favorite classes to take with him. And he actually wrote one of my letters of recommendation for law school. So I'm still very close with him.
Right. Did you do the undergrad program for law then? Or what was your undergrad?
I didn't. My undergrad's criminal justice. I really just kind of wanted to make sure to get a well-rounded education of the entire justice system and not just focus on like a law degree would.
So you could be an FBI agent. You could work for the DEA. You could work for Homeland Security.
I wanted to be able to have options. And then I am actually very pleased I did it, because it just taught me not only about what it's like to be a lawyer, but also what our police departments do, you know, our prison systems, legislation, politics. And so I just got a very well-rounded understanding of how all of that plays in and factors together.
And you want to be an advocate for people, you're not trying to get into it to find people and prosecute them and all that, but more the other side of the house, which is to help people and do positive things in their lives and help them, guide them through the law and
it actually changed over the years. For the longest time, I thought I would be a prosecutor. That was kind of my focus. And then with classes I had taken at the U of A and professors, everyone kept telling me, I think you're going to be a defense attorney. You know,
was me.
Yeah, it was her. Everyone's like, you live in the gray and the empathy, and there's always two sides to a story, and there's more behind the person and other factors. It's not simply just black and white and what they did. And so they're everyone that meets me, they're like, maybe you'll start out as a prosecutor, but you'll branch over into defense really quick. And so now that's kind of been my focus for the last 2 years, I would say.
Do you want to join a law firm, or do you want to start your own shop, or how are you going to do that? Are you going to work for the government and be a help defendants in the
I would really like to start out as a public defender to get my toes wet. I think it's great work. It's thankless work. You know, both the prosecution and the public defender's office are very overworked. There's not we need more, and so I think that'd be a great place to start, and kind of just where, you know, those are the people that need the help the most, where they need free representation. You know, they can't afford to go to a private firm or have a private defense, and so that is where I would like to start my
and the money the money isn't fantastic. It's a civil job, and so you get a salary.
Yes.
Whereas you know, a lawyer that's in a practice with personal injury or something like that, they're paid on, you know, performance and or commission or whatever you call it, and a fee, and they can be quite substantial paychecks involved in that side of law.
Yes.
But when you're back working for people who don't have any money and they need to get a fair shake, you just get your salary from the Pima County attorney or whoever you're working for.
Yes, that's correct.
And so there's a lot of passion involved in this then, to help people and want to make a difference in people's lives. And that's good. Did you learn that as a young girl growing up, or did you learn, was that reinforced in your time at the U of A, or how did your whole vision come to, I'm going to start this way first?
A little bit. I, you know, through friends and family, have seen people affected by the justice system and how, you know, it really helped give them a second chance. And also how important adequate legal representation is to their lives, to their future. And so it started there. And then the U of A really just honed in on that focus by different clinics they offered. Just they have so many programs where I could just go and attend and shadow lawyers or meet lawyers, or they would hold luncheons where you could go for an hour in between classes, and it would either be a prosecutor or a defense attorney or sometimes retired judges, and they would host pizza and you'd be able to sit there and talk to them and ask questions, or they would tell you about their experience with the law and law school. And so all of that over the 4 years really was like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to go. I'm on the right direction. Answering my questions, you know, helping with my fears and worries if I can do this. So
it's a shame, Morgan, that you and your friend Gabby don't have any enthusiasm or passion for what you're doing. It's a shame that you're you're just so low key, both of you. It's amazing. It's great to watch this.
We just show up to work. Yeah. That's it.
It's very mundane.
It's great to watch this talent that I'm seeing in front of me, and we're in good hands here in the future with folks like you coming out of the University of Arizona. We'll be back in just a minute with the last part of Wonder and talk a little bit more about the University of Arizona and the good things going on there. You're listening to KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, and this is Wonder on The Morning Voice. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice, another little bit of Kansas, people of the South Wind, enjoying our day on a Friday. Hey, great to hear from Dr. Julian Ackerley, concluding 45 years as director of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. That was a lively and fun discussion with him. That'll be his last time as director of the Boys Chorus on The Morning Voice. He's been on half a dozen times, but real proud of him and his 45 years. Great to hear from Rob Lamb from Mighty Dog Roofing. What a great conversation with him about the community and how the University of Arizona fits so prominently in all the things we do here in Tucson. And then we talked to some young lady by the name of Morgan Murphy. She was a wonderful...
Who is that?
Who is that person? And Morgan is going to be moving on here in about 3 weeks, but you got a couple more shows with us.
And yes, definitely.
We're gonna keep you coming in during the summer. We're going to keep you in, but you're graduating. And your best friend, I will call her, Gabby Grunewald, is a U of A alumnus who is moving on to law school and taking all the good things at the U of A. So, Morgan, tell me, what is the one thing you take away from your University of Arizona undergrad or marketing experience that will be with you the rest of your life?
That's a good question. I think it's that connections, community, is everything. Like if you don't put yourself out there, get to know people, make connections, help other people out, you have nothing. I mean, even we were talking to Gabby earlier, getting a letter of recommendation, something you have to have for law school. People have to know who you are and know that you care.
Right. And you know, in your internship here with us over the last year, you have certainly seen that connecting and networking in action every single day. I think I just think about Jeff Pay calling us and having us go out to the Oasis last Monday. We knew Jeff Pay when he was owner of Philly's Finest and Elkhorn Mall, and now he owns Kids World. He owns a couple of Kids World, and haven't really talked to Jeff about business in the last 10 years, but he's thought about, I got to do some promotion for my...
Exactly.
And boom.
Even outside of business, just community is really important. I mean, life is hard. We all got to help each other out, you know?
Yeah. So that's a good... So, Gabby, what's your takeaway from your years at the University of Arizona? What's one thing that's going to stick with you the rest of your life?
Definitely the community and the support I've built. Even I graduated last May, and throughout the year, still my friends and the professors and the relations that I made with my time at the U of A fundamentally helped through my law school application process. It was a very daunting process. It has been a long year.
Right.
I studied for the LSAT for about 9 months, and through that, the support of my friends that I have made, my professors, you know, just checking in, making sure if I needed anything, helping, being an advocate, a resource. Like I said, Morgan said, the letters of recommendation from my professors were extremely helpful.
Even getting jobs?
Yes, yeah. Actually, one of the lawyers I work for is a U of A alumni. He graduated from their law school. So
Great. Yeah. It's amazing. I tell my students, you know, to finish strong, and that I teach undergrads. And, you know, they have about a month left, a little less than a month if you count all the finals they got to go through before graduation. And I say, you know, you only have one shot at this. This mm-hmm. This is the last time you'll ever be an undergrad. And you finish strong.
Yes.
And get whatever you can out of each and every class this last month, and do whatever you can to show up, be present. Half of it is just showing up and being present. And get something out of it. It's really tempting to go sit by the pool in this weather and have a Mai Tai and kind of relax. But I really suggest to students that they step on the gas and really finish strong.
100%. It goes by so fast, too. You blink and then you're already at graduation.
Right.
So just, you know, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, but you'll get through your finals and it matters. So.
Right. Bill, we've got Coaches for Charity Bullathon coming up. Anybody wants to get involved in that?
Go to coachesforcharity.org. It's June 14th, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon.
We need lots of help with that. Had a great eat and greet last night at Proof, one of Grant Kruger's places. We got one coming up here in May at Caruso's. We'll get that information out to you. You did a great job of lining up our guests for today, Morgan. Thank you. And when you told me Gabby was coming in, I thought, well, come on, are you serious? One of the best guests we've had. You're just wonderful, and thank you for being here. And congratulations to you on going to law school. And we need more people like you in the universe that are helping people who need help. So that's really good.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Did we announce what law school she's going to?
I'm undecided yet, but it will definitely be on the East Coast.
Yeah.
That has been my end goal forever. So no more Arizona, sadly.
You'll always be a wildcat in my eyes.
Exactly. Right? A wildcat at heart for sure.
Well, thank you all for listening to The Morning Voice. This is Wonder, where we talk about the good things at the University of Arizona. Coming up on Monday, Lydia Randa will be here with Rainmakers. You got Tuesday with General Maxwell, and Wednesday with Grant, Thursday with Tom, and we'll be back next Friday on The Morning Voice. Have a good weekend.